Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 18. And the Lord said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Heavenly Father, help us as we look at these verses tonight. Lord, speak to our hearts. I would pray, Lord, that you would use this to be a blessing to our families here. We are, of course, dear God, I believe under your direction. I just felt moved this year, Lord, to want to preach on the family. I believe it's from heaven. I believe it's under the direction of my Father. And so I ask, Lord, that you would help us, each and every one, protect our families. Satan has put the Christian home under assault, and he's relentless in what he does. And so I would pray, Lord, that you would please help. May this be some things that would prevent, Lord, problems down the road. May we just implement the principles of the Bible, and Lord, use that as a foundation, Lord, as we build upon a rock this year. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. And last week we covered four main points out of Genesis chapter number 1 and Genesis chapter number 2. We're going to these two chapters because they predate the fall of man. And so it's wonderful to be able to come in this time of purity before the curse, before the fall of man, and just look at some of God's original intent that he had is when it comes to marriage. Marriage is honorable in all. And I think a wonderful institution. What a blessed thing. As we are in the process of seeing two of our young people so far, I think, going to be married this year at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Maybe if Levi gets on the ball, we might have three. I don't know. I'm praying about that. Might have to give him a little push, but he's not here tonight, so I can pick on him a little bit. He did call before the service. He got Kelsey settled down there. They went and attended the church this morning where she'll be attending. He was excited, and he told me on the phone what a exciting church, and the pastor was such a good man, and the message and the spirit, and he was very excited about it. And he said, I showed up early and was waiting out by the buses and found a bus to ride this morning. Does that sound like Levi Hall? He showed up the church down there in Arkansas early, waiting by the buses, talked some bus captain, and he said, wait till you hear the new bus song I learned. I can't wait to teach it. And I'm just a little worried. It says it's something. Did he talk to you about it? It says something about your grandma. And I don't know what this has to do with Jesus, but it says something about grandma being 91. And then anyway, so I don't know what he'll bring back from Arkansas, but we may have to approve that song before it starts going through our bus ministry here. But excited about what God's doing in Kelsey's life. But recreating paradise in your marriage, going back to the paradise principles, the in the beginning principles, and we covered four things. Number one, man and woman were created in the image of God, and we spoke about that, and the fact that your wife is a child of God, your husband is a child of God. They are a triune being with body, soul, and spirit, and God created us such, and how we ought to learn each other and understand that all three of the parts have specific needs. Number two, God created the man and placed him in a specific place, in a garden. And we talked about why he the specific place that he chose, and that there is not only a what to the will of God, but a where to the will of God. And then number three, God gave man both a purpose and responsibilities, and he created him to accomplish. He placed him in the garden and gave him a job and gave him the rules and gave him responsibility and protection to dress and to keep. Number four, God created woman to be a helper specifically designed for him. And that Eve was created specifically for Adam. Her purpose was to be a helper. God gave him his will for his life. Adam a job. Eve to assist. To help make him a success in what God had called him to do. Recreating paradise in your marriage. A man is created for work. The woman is created for the man. And if you understand that, it'll help you to understand each other a little bit. And now I'm going to go on from there without going back and re-preaching those, because we've got a lot of material to cover tonight. I want to show you here in verse number 21 of Genesis chapter 2. Let me give you the fifth point, or the fifth Bible principle we can pull from here. God brought the woman to the man in his time. In his time. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead. And the rib which the Lord had God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And so we see this process, and I'm not going to preach the whole message, but probably once every couple years I come up and preach to our young people about the second most important decision in your life. And I believe marriage is the second most important decision of your life. I don't even think there's a close third. I think it's salvation. That's the number one most important decision. If you are born and you live your life and you die and you never choose to accept Christ, I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what else you accomplished in your life, you'll have an eternity in hell to bemoan the fact that you neglected to be saved. So that's number one. But the second thing that I believe, more of your long-term happiness and what you will or won't accomplish for the Lord is tied into that one decision. And young people, listen, you know, one of these days you want to have a happy marriage. But you know what? A lot of what determines on whether or not you have a happy marriage happens before you're ever married. And it is very important that you take the time and take this seriously. Hey, this isn't a game to play. Okay, messing around and playing around with other people's emotions. And I'm going with her, I'm going with that. You know, emotional defrauding, then breaking up, and then, you know, playing this game like it's not a game. You know, it's not happenstance. It's not a roll of the dice. If you're patient, God, the Bible says here, will bring the person to you in his time. Now, Adam was asleep. He fell asleep. God put him to sleep. Took a part of Adam, created Eve, came back, woke Adam up. And I tell our young people, there's a period of time where young men, you ought to just be asleep about this for a while. Young ladies, you ought to be asleep about this for a while. I, preacher, it almost sounds like you're not for teen dating. I'm not for teen dating. Okay, let me just make that very specific. I'm not. I there's too many disasters, too much heartache, too many mistakes. They're trying to be involved in things that they're not emotionally equipped to deal with. You can just say amen right there. Amen. And there's a time for it. And if you think it's a game, it's not. And it's something that ought to be taken very seriously. Well, how am I going to find? Well, you know what? God was well able to bring Eve to Adam in his time. And this whole idea, I've heard all the arguments you want to bring. But this whole idea of you know, God didn't take five ribs, create five women, put them in the garden, and then say, Adam, date around and decide which one you want. He created one rib. Good thing our guts would fall out. I mean, we wouldn't have anything to hold us in here. You be patient. Too many teens waste their teenage years pursuing instead of praying and preparing. If you really believe that God has created somebody specifically for you, and that God is well capable of bringing that person to you in his time, then that takes all the pressure off. Takes all the pressure off. You see, I never worry about the young lady that is wise enough not to worry about whether she has a boyfriend or not. I always worry about the young lady who has to have a boyfriend. I don't worry about the young man that's wise enough to put this in the hands of God and say, hey, you know what, there's other things that's more important for me to focus on right now. What I need to focus on is just making sure that when that time comes, I'm the man that I should be. Instead of running around wasting their time in dead-end relationships, romance roller coaster. Too many kids have fallen off that roller coaster. And I'm not speaking out of a couple years' experience. I'm speaking out of a lifetime of experience. Now, young people, listen to me. The devil will always bring to you a counterfeit before God brings to you the one. I think every young lady in here sitting in here for a reason tonight. I don't think you're here by accident. I think every one of you needed to hear that. The devil will bring to you a counterfeit before God brings to you the one. Always, 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 never seen it where it didn't happen. That's why it's important to get counsel. You know, the world will tell you in their romance songs that to follow your heart. But Proverbs 28:26 says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." The Bible also tells us in Proverbs, "In the multitude of counselors, there's safety." This whole idea of, you know, well, you know, follow your heart. Well, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Folks, the heart is the seat of your emotions. Emotions change. You know, I still got the offer about the envelope in the paper. If you want to take me up on it, I'd love that. I would love that. A lesson to be learned. Matter of fact, let me just show you something. I'm not going to say never. All right? Every adult in this room, when you were 16... Can you go back that far? You probably were kind of halfway sweet on somebody, even if they didn't know it, right? Okay. How many of you married that person? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. What's so funny is she raised her hand and he doesn't. I think that's the... That's just amazing, man. Yeah. Matter of fact, did you fill out one of those capsules? I think I've got a name then, don't I? Maybe I should just bring that to the pulpit next Sunday night. Was it been, what, 15 years ago or something like that? I went down to the Learning Center one day and I said, "We're going to make time capsules." And then I said, 10 years from now, I'll have everybody get back together and we'll hand out these time capsules. So I had the kids take out a piece of paper, write down a bunch of stuff. One of them, I was like, "Okay, I promise you." And I never have. I'll tell you, I promise the kids, I will not open these capsules. And I haven't. And 10 years came and gone, and I forgot to get them together, and we were going to do it 11, 12. I still got them. It's been like 15 years. But one of the things I had them write down was, write down the name of the person that you think you're going to be married to. And I had girls come up and saying, you promise. I mean, on the Bible, you swear to God that you will not open this. You are not going to open this. I taped it. They duct taped it and all this stuff, you know. And we still got them at the house. And, you know, that'd be fun tonight. You want to go open those things tonight? What I could do is I could bring a whole list of so-and-so said they were going to marry so-and-so, and so-and-so was going to marry so-and-so. Said they were And Jeffrey's in there. I think Jonathan Reiser's in there. Yeah. Are you in there, Greg? Were you in there? You weren't in there? Who else was in there? Anybody else in here? You don't want to admit it now. It's all right. I'm going to read it this week. I'll find out. Yeah, that's why I said I'm not saying there's never an exception to that, but I guarantee you out of what? Good night, 150 people total and maybe 80, 90 adults here, six. What I'm saying, young people, is wait. Just take your time. Prepare. Well, I'm going to be one of the six. I know the guy that thinks they're going to be the exception is never the exception. The guy that thinks they're going to be the exception is never the exception. The guy that thinks, the girl that thinks, see, I want you to make sure you hear this. The girl you think that thinks she's going to be the exception is never the exception. And so you mean... What then? You mean go, 16, 17, 18, and do what? Get ready to be a wife. See, if I get the average young lady in the world to spend as much time just at the feet of mama and grandma learning how to be a great wife one day as they do running around town in these dead-end relationships, most of them destroying their lives in the process, I'm sorry, it's true. It's true. Absolutely. Sending away the perfect will of God in that area of their life. Just sending it away. And I can handle it. No, you can't. You don't trust me. I don't trust the devil. You shouldn't trust him either. But if you just focus on that. Young man, you don't need to spend your teenage years, you know, breaking up, going, chasing. You know, you don't need to do that. Get ready to be a husband. Learn to work. Learn how to handle money. Okay? Sit down and talk with Dad about serious things. What's it take if I'm going to be married? What's it going to take? What kind of money do I have to have? What's a good game plan? And if you do it right, folks, you're going to be glad forever. You're going to be glad forever. And so when the time is right, God will bring that somebody to you. The devil will always bring a counterfeit. When you meet the person God has created for you, you will meet the person God has created for you somewhere on the path of God's perfect will for your life. You know what? Adam had to stay in the garden. You know where God put that lady? Put that lady the same place put Adam, in God, in the place of God's will. One of the saddest things about young people going prodigal is this. Part of the price of going prodigal as a young person is almost without fail, they end up marrying outside the will of God. You say, well, they can get right later. Yeah, thank God. What a wonderful end of a story, the story of the prodigal son. What a wonderful thing. But you know what? That decision, again, has been sent away. And so think about these things and take them seriously. And I appreciate the good spirit of most of our young people that have embraced this. I mean that. I've always got a few. I will always have a few around here that want to laugh and scoff and be scornful about what the preacher's saying. But for the vast majority of our young people, they are serious-minded in this area. They are mature beyond their years in this area. They're wise in this area. And it pays off again and again and again in the lives of the young people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so God brought this woman to the man in his time. Let's get back to the marriage principles. Notice, if you will, in verse number 23, it says, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, marriage takes two people and makes them into one in the sight of God. Now, this is a strange math equation. Preacher, 1 + 1 = 1? Well, that's not really the proper math equation, because I don't think that any one man is whole in himself and any one woman is whole in herself. A part of one plus a part of one makes a whole one. You see, I believe that men, we are born incomplete. We need a helpmeet. Can some husbands say amen? We need our wives. We need a helpmeet. Wasn't it God that said, it is not good that man should be alone? And so we're not complete in ourselves. And a woman certainly is not, because she was created for man. And so it's not 1 + 1. It's part of 1 + part of 1. Now, young people, let me again address you just a second here. Before you're married, you're going to be frustrated with feelings of incompleteness. And that frustration is sometimes what the devil uses in your life to try to capitalize on bringing people into your life prematurely. And so you're going to feel that. Preacher, I get 16 cents and there's just a frustration. And you know what? That's normal. That's natural. There's a frustration. I feel like I'm not complete. You know why? You're not. Marriage is a wonderful thing. It takes two young people that God created with something missing in their life. You know what? Part of Adam was missing something. God took something out of him and put it in her. And you know what? Not until the two became one flesh was that frustration erased and a completeness felt. But you have to be careful about that, young people, because being frustrated in your teenage years is called real life. I'm not going to lie to you. You are. There's going to be times that, you know what? You're going to go in, girls, you're going to go in your bedroom and just cry, and you don't even know why you're crying. Okay? Amen. I mean, just... I had three of them. Amen. And young men, sometimes you're going to be frustrated. But you know what? Don't let the devil use that frustration to cause you to become impatient and not wait for the perfect will of God. In his time, God in his time will bring the person into your life. Marriage takes two and makes them one in the sight of God. And we see in that next verse where it talks about leaving and cleaving. Verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The cleave and leave principle, husband and wife becoming one. I think the best illustration I ever heard of that, and I've used it from this pulpit, is if you take a piece of cardboard. Years ago, I went to a factory. One of my friends at Bible college worked at a factory where they made cardboard boxes. And I got to watch the roller, and I got to watch that cardboard being made. And here you had a sheet of basically brown paper, another sheet of brown paper, and then corrugated in between. and then all of the glue that was put on there. And I'm going to tell you something. They came in two, but they came out one. And if you've ever taken a piece of cardboard and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to separate those two original pieces of paper and separate them out, and they'll be once again whole and separate. You know what? You'll tear both of them apart before you separate them out. And that's the cleaving process. The husband and wife relationship creates a oneness, a permanence, and the cleaving. And the husband-wife relationship is to be the closest of all human relationships. Let me say that again. The husband-wife relationship is to be the closest of all human relationship because of the fact that in no other human relationship does two people be declared by God to be one. No other. No other. Look right up here, ladies. Let me help you out. Well, I'll tell you what, the person who's my best friend is, and you say the name of another lady, well, you can go to the altar tonight and get right with God about that. Now, you can come right up here and get right with God about that. Oh, you're closer to who than what? Amen. I like it when it gets quiet. There ought to be no human relationship that is closer than the husband-wife relationship. A lot of guys, you know, you young guys, listen up. Well, you know what? I want to be married, but I also want to be a teenager. I want to go run around with my buddies. And you know what? Next thing you know, I want to spend more time with my buddies. Than, oh, wait a minute. No. No. The closest person in your life ought to be your wife. And moms, dads, listen to me. The Bible specifically says, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. You know, the father, the parent-child relationship is a sweet relationship. Watch this. Look right up here. But it is a temporary relationship. It is a temporary relationship. Now, what I mean by that is, yeah, you'll always be mom and you'll always be dad, but things are going to change. You know, when a father, Lord willing, Lord doesn't come on August 3rd like I kind of think he will. But if the Lord tarries, you know, I get the opportunity to walk my daughter down this aisle in a couple months. And you know what? Folks, by the way, be very careful that you just don't. You know, when I get married, I think I'm going to change this and change. You know, some things carry very great significance in the ceremony. I'll let people choose concerning certain things or whatever. But you know what? You know what's gotten to be a cool thing? We'll get to this in a second. But you know what Hollywood says? Write your own vows. Well, you're not going to write your own vows if I'm going to marry you. You know why? Because you're going to say what ought to be said. By the way, listen to those vows. You know why they want to write their own vows? Because they don't really want to make any promises. They don't really want to stand before a holy God and make vows before man and before God. They just want to talk about these, you know, fluffy feelings and for this time in our life and you are my sunshine, and they never make any real promises. And you know what? There's significance. The father walks that daughter down the aisle. There's a reason that the groom goes down, takes that girl who's been under the protective care of her father, and he hands that girl's arm to that man, saying, "From now on, I'm no longer the protector. You are the protector of this young lady." And it all has significance. Okay, it's all for a reason. It's all for a purpose. And so you are then from that point on, leave and cleave. You know what? I'm no longer the authority in my daughter's life from that point on. Her husband is the authority in her life. Okay? Moms and dads, listen. Be careful. Be careful. You know what? If they come to you for advice, then good. But you don't get a dictate. And even in Christian families, there's too many in-laws that are becoming outlaws. There's too many parents that are meddling in areas you don't have any business meddling in. Okay? Are you getting this? All right, it's the way it is. Okay? You know, you want to do it, but you didn't want your mom and dad doing it. Amen. That's good. That's good. And you know what? It starts a new family. Okay, it starts a brand new family unit in the eyes of Almighty God. Husband-wife relationship creates a oneness. This is a special relationship. It's unlike any other human relationship. The husband-wife relationship is one of that creates a sacred intimacy. And I'm going to be careful here, but verse 25. And you know what? Listen, I want you to understand something. I actually brought a copy of them up here. But as I mentioned a minute ago, young people, when you get married, You ever think about this? What is a marriage? I go through this every time we do marriage counseling before somebody gets married. And if somebody doesn't want to do marriage counseling, then they can find somebody else to marry them, because if I'm going to marry them, they're going to go through marriage counseling. But not because I don't think our kids growing up here know a lot of the things, but they need to hear them again at that key time in their life. But I ask them something, you know, what makes a wedding? What makes a marriage? You know, is it all the dresses, and is it the flowers, and is it the decorations, and is it the music? You know, folks, all of those things are nice, and they certainly add to the occasion. All of the pomp and circumstance and all of the sweetness of all. But you know what? Marriage, if you boil it down to, occurs when two people stand in before a holy God and make vows to each other, make promises to each other before man and God. And you know, one of the things I'll do in marriage counseling, one of the first things that I do when a couple comes to me, that first initial meeting, is to give them both a copy of the marriage vows. And I've said, I want you between now and the second meeting to read over these. And I mean perfectly read over them. Because these aren't just words. These are promises that you're making to each other before a holy God. And God treats vows very sacredly in the Bible. And the standard template that we use here, if you, speaking to the groom, and you, speaking to the bride, we say their names. Now think about this. It may seem like just words, have freely and deliberately chosen each other as partners for life. Would you please join your right hand? And you know what? Just by the joining of the right hand, they say, we have both freely and deliberately chosen each other as partners for life. And then you say to the groom, if you, and say their name, will you have this woman to be your wedded wife? Will you love her? Now think about this. Will you love her, honor, and keep her in sickness as in health, in poverty as in wealth, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her so long as you both shall live? Do you so promise? Then I look at them. They're all excited because they get to say I do, but I sometimes think that maybe the bride and groom so focused on the opportunity to say I do, they don't really think about what they're saying I do to. Now, you've just made a vow before Almighty God. Don't come to me 10 years later and sit in my office and say, well, I just don't love my wife. Because you know what I'll tell you? So what you're telling me is you are breaking sacred vows. You promised to love her. Let me give you help here. Well, I can't help it. That's baloney. Love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. Love is not an emotion. It's a decision. Don't come to me and say, well, I just don't love her anymore. Then you broke your sacred vows because you said, I promise to love her, honor her, keep her. Sickness as in health, and poverty as in wealth, forsaking all others. Let me help you with this, folks. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things you have to deal with when you're in the ministry. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if there's anything, very many things a person can do to another human being that causes more hurt than for a wife to break her sacred vows in this area of keeping herself only to her husband, or a husband breaking those. I can't even describe to you the level of devastation and hurt that brings into a life. It's a horrible thing. I mean, folks, can people get through it? Can they survive it? Should they work to survive it? And yes. And can God help and heal? Yes. But I'm telling you something, folks. There's something that is long-term done. I don't know, except by just an unusual movement of the grace of God. Very difficult. It complicates. It hurts. It hurts your spouse. It hurts your children. It hurts the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nathan came to Daniel and said, you've given the enemies of God occasion to blaspheme God. And so it's such a serious thing. And we need this from time to time. Just have this serious talk. Are you listening to me? This whole idea of just, well, yeah, I'm married, but... No. I made a promise. Keep myself only unto her till death do us part. I promised God. And I promised her. And we ought to get back to a time where that means something. Doesn't say until some waitress flirts with me. Doesn't say until I'm out of town and I have some opportunity. It says in front of God, in His presence, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I am to be faithful to my wife. No man here ought to have to go leave for work and have any doubt that his wife is nothing, anything but 100% faithful. And we just live in such a wicked society. It's almost a foregone conclusion in some people's mind. It's almost like, oh, well, everybody does it. We need to get back to what the Bible says. The Ten Commandments still pretty good. Pretty good. You say, you're talking about the one that says thou shalt not commit adultery. I am talking about that, but if you obey number 10, you're probably not going to have any problem with number 6. Okay? Thou shalt not covet. But it goes on to say what you're not supposed to covet. Your neighbor's house or your neighbor's wife. And men, listen to me. Adultery starts in the heart before it's ever acted upon. You need to guard that area of your life. You know. Well, I got married, but I didn't go blind. You're supposed to have. You're supposed to have. Okay? Well, it doesn't hurt to look. That's what Eve thought. That's what David thought. Okay? Listen, I don't care what the guys around the water cooler said. I don't care what the guys in the shop say. Why don't you step up at moments like that and say, you know what, guys, I listen to this and I hear these comments all the time, and I'm going to tell you something. I made holy vows to my wife. Just look at them. I made holy vows to my wife. Before God, sacred promises. You know, men keeping our word, men being a man and keeping our word. You know the thing that separates us from animals? Yeah. Why don't we speak up for this? Okay? And so this idea of the sacredness of this relationship and the intimacy and, you know, everything, young husband, everything that you're supposed to learn intimately about, all women should be learned through one woman and one woman only. That is it. Until death do you part. Till death do you part. Okay? And so the sacredness of this relationship, let's not forget that. Let's be protective of that. Now, Number 8, let me give you this. If you'll go over into chapter 1, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. The Bible says this, after he created man in his own image, verse 27, the image of God created he, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God's intent for the first married couple was for them to be blessed with children. And as I mentioned a second ago, this is a temporary relationship for the most part as far as us being the authorities in their life. Children are simply lent to us from the Lord for a time for us to raise and prepare for some other person. God's intent for the first married couple was for them to have children. I'm excited for Brother Josh and Sister Dawn and God blessing them with their first child. And what a blessing it is. It's celebration around Blessed Hope Baptist Church when somebody has a baby. We shouldn't treat children as if they're a bother. We shouldn't act like they're a burden. They're not. They're a blessing. They're a blessing from the Lord. Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As our arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And we see that the Bible encourages us to have large families and to be blessed with multiple children. And folks, listen to me. I know sometimes God in his plan, and sometimes there are situations where a couple would want children and aren't able to have children. And you know what? That's always a sorrowful thing. And I think it's something that we can join in prayer with them about. I could take you to several places in the Bible where a woman was barren, and yet because of the prayers, either her prayers or her husband's prayers or the prayers of God's people, God opened a womb. I'm not going to pretend that God always does that. I understand sometimes that that's the case where somebody wants to have children, cannot. And by the way, we ought to be very tender about that, be careful about that and how we treat those folks. I know many situations. And by the way, let me just help you with this. I know some situations where people have been able to have some children and then get to the point where they can't have others. Just be very careful about being so judgmental. I got news for you. It's really none of your business. Okay, nobody's been put in charge to go around to other people and try to convince them how many children they ought to have. Last time I checked, they have communication with God too. Okay, so be careful. Don't be a Pharisee about it. But at the same time, we've been brainwashed by culture to teach us that it's almost unpatriotic to have more than 1.3 children. I don't know how you have the 0.3. I've never tried to figure that out yet. But we have. And the honest truth is, folks, if you do, boy, I'm going to tell you something. I got an email about this about a year ago. It was really eye-opening. But let me tell you why most of Europe is going to be Muslim in about the next 15 to 20 years. I'm going to tell you. Y'all seen that? Y'all seen the stats on this? You know, France probably within 10 years will be a Muslim country. And the honest truth is they're not going to do it by blowing up, strapping bombs up. You know how they're doing it? They're having babies. They're just going to have the majority of the popular vote. Okay. Amen. Amen. See, the cults and the false religions are still having children, the Christians. Come on. All right? And so, you know, we all look at this. I like to see the kids around here. What a blessing they are. They're a blessing. And you mothers, I want to try to take a burden off your heart a little bit here. Say, preacher, when I have young children, it's just hard. And it is. If you got multiple children that are under school age, you know what? That is a handful. It's a full-time job. Preacher, I sometimes bemoan the fact I can't be more involved in the ministry. You are in the ministry. You have a ministry. I mean, that time in our life, me and Cheryl, bless her heart, she helped out in a lot of ways. But you know what? Sometimes, husband, we just need to understand it's what it is. It's a blessed time. It's a good time. But it is a lot of work. And so you have a ministry. Doesn't mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go soul winning. I'm not saying that you can't be involved at some place here at the church. But I understand that for that time in your life, that just takes a lot of what you are. Good for you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for staying home, rearing your children, and not farming it out to a daycare. Thank you. Thank you for rearing your children. I know you young mamas kind of get discouraged. I mean, you know, I hear every once in a while a mother just say, I just like to have adult conversation. You know, and it is. It's a lot. But thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for your sacrifice, your willingness to have children. And I think everything in our ministry ought to be geared to assist the families and be a blessing to them and an encouragement to them and their children. This, you say, preacher, do you have children's church? Yeah, it's called Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think the whole church is children's church. I mean, you look around here and you'll see that we do. I mean, just check it out. I always say this, and you know, I hear a lot of people give lip service to really investing in the next generation. I always say, follow the money. Follow the money. You know, a lot of people talk about they don't spend a dime doing it. And if you check it out, we do. We don't just say it. We invest in this next generation. And I thank God for the ministries here. I thank God for the nursery workers. I mean that. What a blessing you are. I thank God for the sister Stephanie and all the years. My goodness, I don't know how many years she's done primary church and has done just an amazing job. And the children's church workers that go out there and minister to these children. Sunday school teachers, bless your heart. I mean, what a ministry that is. Master's Club. All of you are partnering with these parents, trying to help them to raise their children in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. Christian school teachers that I know most of you that spend any time doing it. We never pay you enough. We don't pay our teachers enough now. I mean, it breaks my heart. You know, it's funny. You'll get a note under your door one week that says, I think you ought to pay the teachers more. And then you'll get a note under the door the next week that says, I think tuition's too high. And so, you know, come talk to me sometime about how to do both of those things. I don't know. But I do hate it. I think, you know what? But the honest truth is, They don't do it for money. They do it because they love the young people here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have done more in our Christian school to encourage large families. One of the reasons we went and to help our families, one of the primary reasons we went to a four-day school was so that every family in our church has an opportunity to homeschool their children one day a week. Homeschooling, that means at home. And we have a policy financially. We charge for the first child, the second child, and the third child. And if you have more than three children, I don't care if you got nine children, you pay for three and the rest go free. That's been our policy for years. Every mother, you know, as long as she's willing to follow the rules and regulations and the standards of the, every mother's invited to come in and volunteer and be a part of her children's education. You know, I really don't know what else we can do to make it more friendly, family friendly. But I feel like we've done everything we can do. I think the parents and the mothers have great opportunity here to be personally involved, not only in being a blessing to their own children, but also then to minister to other children. It's a great thing and a great ministry. But we work very hard in this, and we pour our lives into this. Now, young couples, listen to me. Don't fall for the garbage that's being taught on the TV. You know, don't say, well, we want careers, and then down the road if we ever get around to it. You know, you put children first. Children are the greatest blessing that you can bring into a home. It's just something about, it brings happiness. It brings life. By the way, I wanted to share this with you. I got an email, because folks ask, and I appreciate you asking, and I don't always remember to mention it, but I got an email. I'm sorry, a text on my phone. And now I get, they're sending me pictures. You know they can send pictures on a phone? Did you know that? They can send pictures now. And so I got a picture of Jackson taken today, and Amanda put down, happy, it's his 2-month celebration today of him being 2 months old today. And that is, for us, a real victory. It's a real blessing. And I think probably in the life of this little boy, the month birthdays are going to be bigger than in a normal situation, because every month that we can see him grow and not have to postpone the surgery is going to increase the chances of it going better. And so, but I thought 2 months, oh, what a blessing. And I wanted to share that with you. We prayed that little boy 2 months down the road. And what a thing. He's got his little feeding tube in. She told me, Cheryl told me that she's telling Mom that he's now figured out how to pull his feeding tube out. And yeah, see, he's Blaine's child. I told you, he's no stink pot. And but he's just a little boy. And they didn't only send pictures, they send videos. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, the modern technology today. I mean, we're like watching a little movie on your, yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? And so they got him talking the other day, and he's just talking away, so they take the phone, and they get him talking, and he's like, and of course, she's got to send that to Grandpa so I can watch that. And anyway, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what? Children are an heritage of the Lord. And so just pray about this and ask the Lord. Sometimes I think we just decide, watch this, we decide how many children we should have, and we don't even ask God. I really do think that that's something you ought to go to the Lord about. It ought to be the Lord that has say in that in your life. And so be open to that and allow the Lord to guide you in that, because they are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. I think we've got a culture that thinks it's punishment. It's not. It's His reward. What a blessing it is. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of his youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with his enemies in the gate. So these are the principles that I think we need to get back to in the book of Genesis. Heavenly Father, bless our time here. Thank you for us just being able to read down through this portion of Scripture, and Lord, to be able to encourage our married couples, and then, Lord, to also help our young people who still have that wonderful event in their future awaiting them. Lord, protect our young people. Please protect them. And, Lord, I would ask, dear God, that there would be just a surrendering in their life and a handing over in this area of their life to you. And, God, that they would have the wonderful opportunity to be married one day in the perfect will of God. Now, Lord, protect us, protect our church. Bless, Lord, this time of invitation, we pray.